I'm so excited to be here this weekend with you guys. Like Pete said, my name is Aaron. I am excited for a lot of different reasons to play with you guys, as we've done some tonight, and we'll look forward to doing a lot more of that as well. I love to compete in just pretty much anything, so sorry if I ever like throw an elbow or anything like that to you. Like, it happens. Like, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, exactly. I just love to have fun. I love to be able to share both from God's word and just our lives together. And I hope that we can do that this week. And I just love to have fun and meet new people. So this is going to be a good weekend here with you guys. I live in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Amanda, where are you at? What's up? Yeah. Amanda is from Appleton, which is like kind of Bloomington, Normal, Oshkosh, Appleton, kind of. Not quite that close, but pretty close to that. So when I pulled in today, and she's like, "You're from Oshkosh." I was like, "By gosh, it's true." I'm like, who would know? But she's like, "I know that place. I'm from there." I was like, sweet. So that's kind of cool. So shout out to Appleton and Amanda there. But we've been there, my wife and I, we do campus ministry at the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh. And we've been there for 4 years now. This is starting our fourth year, and we absolutely love it. But I want you to know, like, there's nothing special about our ministry or me that I should be here sharing with you this weekend. In fact, I'm quite convinced that I probably shouldn't be, and someone else should be here sharing with you guys this weekend. So I hope that you'll just kind of bear with me, and we'll kind of work through it. I love to have fun, and I love to get to know you, and I love the personal, like, hey, let's hang out and chat. This is an okay thing for me, but we're going to have fun with it either way. So when Pete called me a few weeks ago, months ago, when he called me a few months back, and he was like, "Hey, we're having our fall retreat, and we'd like to ask you if you would consider speaking." I was like, "Man, I'm really honored. That's awesome. But let me tell you, I'm not the guy that you're looking for." Like, I specifically told him, "I'm not the person you're looking for." And I think I told him that like 6 times in order to try to tell him, like, "No, really, you should have someone else come." But you guys saw out there, like, when Pete starts on a mission, like, there's no way to start. Like, so that's why I'm here. Like, once he starts calling, like, people can't resist. Like, there's the truth. Yeah. Like, over the phone, it happens. So I want you to know, like, there's nothing special about me. Like, I don't run a mega church or ministry. In fact, our ministry is like, if we lose like 4 rows in the back, like this or something like that, like, it's not a big, like, huge ministry that's like, ooh, successful. And people are like, "Wow, how do they do it there?" I've never written any books, which is good. I read a lot of children's books right now, but I've never written any books. Like, I don't have this viral blog that people follow, and I haven't put any revolutionary videos together that are like changing the face of the entire church in America. Like, there's nothing special about me. And so I really don't know why God has me here to speak with you guys this week, but I pray that he will work through it. And so really, all of this is my preliminary. Like, if we get to the end of this time and you're like, "That guy was an idiot. Like, what was he even talking about?" Like, this is my way of saying, "I told you so." Like, it's not my fault. I tried to warn them in advance, but I love to just be able to have fun. And so when Pete was talking with me, he's like, "No, Aaron, I do want you to come. Like, I think you are the person that we want. Like, you are young and energetic. You're closer to their age. You're cool. You're funny. You'll connect." And I was like, "Well, maybe compared to him, yes, I am those things." No. I didn't mean it like, whatever. It's good. But I've quickly learned that, like, my students don't think of me in that way. In fact, one of our students, Alexandria, she was watching our daughter, Allison, last spring. And I don't know if other parents do this, but I was saying something, and then I would respond as though, like, Allison was talking, which clearly, like, a 9-month-old can't do. But I don't even remember what I said. And then I was like, speaking in Allison's voice, which, whatever that is. But I was like, "Dad, you're embarrassing me. Like, you're not cool, and you're not even funny." And Alexandria, this girl, one of our students who's watching her, and she's like, "Actually," and I'm like, "She's coming to my rescue. Yeah." And so she's like, "Actually, he is pretty funny." And I was like, "Yes, score one for the good guys." And then it dawned on me, I said cool and funny. She said funny. Like, sweet. Got it. But I love to have a good time, and I hope that this weekend we will. And so I want to get to know you, not just from this perspective, but like in a more intimate way. I was trying to think, like, what's the value that I bring, that I have to offer here this weekend? What is it that really God wants me to be able to share? And really, the thing I keep coming back to is that I'm not anyone special. Like, I haven't done anything that would deserve me to be here. But maybe that's the point, that there's not anything we can deserve to be in a position like this, but rather God wants to use us wherever we are in this journey with him. And maybe it's good because like there's no spiritual platform that I am on. And like, I have not ascended to any spiritual like heights in which you haven't been and are going to those places too. So it's not like, man, Aaron did that. Like, wow, if only we do that, then we could be spiritual like him. Like there's none of that. In fact, I'm really a very basic and simple guy. I want you to know these things about me, that I desire deeply, like deeply, deeply desire in me to honor God with who I am and all that I do, like with my relationships and the way I lead my life. But I constantly and consistently find myself being distracted by all kinds of things, right? There are so many things that turn my attention away from what God is calling me to and force me that I allow to, right? Like my own selfish ambition is the thing that often pulls me away from that. I choose to do the things that pull me away from God. I often find myself more worried about my image with other people, right? Like I want the people around me to see me and notice me and like think highly of me. And so my self-image, pride, things like this, areas of sin that we don't share and confess that are deep inside of us that we're holding on to, like those things prevent me constantly. There's nothing special or like heightened about me over any one of you. In fact, I am on this journey together. I was trying to think like, okay, what do I have to offer and what can I help create this like experience of the retreat, this spiritual mountaintop, right? Like that's what we often think about when we talk about retreats is like, man, they're just so great. And you come away and you're just like, oh God, whoa. Like, but then I started thinking like, no, that's actually the exact opposite of what I want us to do here. And it's not so much about creating this mountaintop experience, because when we get on a retreat here and we have this like huge, like, whoa, God, you just blew my mind. A lot of times it's like hiking a mountain, only hiking it by getting dropped out of a helicopter on top of it, right? Like you have no idea what it means to hike a mountain, but you've got some really cool pictures. And this weekend is not about that. Like this weekend is about taking a journey together. Like I want to start walking this path. And I don't know where you guys are at. Like Ben was talking about it a little bit. Some of you guys, like you may be on this retreat because your roommates tricked you and paid for this. And you're like, I thought we were going to a game this weekend or something. Like what? Like, and then you ended up here and it's like, what? I don't understand. But I'm guessing that's probably not how any of you got here, by the way. Just a hunch. But I do understand that like some of you are here and you're like, okay, there's probably a God. I can go with that. Jesus, not really sure about him. I definitely know the church is not what it's supposed to be if people talk about it being the way that they say it should be. We'll give it a try. Whether you're there or you're like, man, I just came off the absolute best week of my entire life and God was just there, like carried me through all of it. Like wherever you're at on that journey together, I want to walk with you. And I want us to like start to take steps, because when we take the journey together, then we know how to climb the mountain. When you get dropped out of the helicopter, you don't know how to get back. Like you don't know what the path looks like. And this weekend, I want us to experience the path. Like I want us to find the spots where we have to sit and rest and like take some water in. I want us to find the spots where it's like, guys, stop, look at that view. Like that's good, right? That was God. And so I want us to experience that journey and take that path together this weekend. Whatever the reason you're here or I'm here for that matter is, I want us to have a lot of fun together. I love just to be able to laugh and enjoy each other's company. Pete said, and you guys met my wife, Ashley, earlier. I think most of you probably saw her, and my daughter, Allison. They are amazing. If you didn't see them, and I would love to have them here, but you guys start things really late. Like, I don't know if you know that, but like where we come from, like we're in bed by now, like, well, close to. We do have a baby, right? So like they had to go back, and she's in bed, and Ashley needs to be with her because we try not to leave her alone unattended too much, which is why we have a dog. It's awesome. No. Yeah. Parenting advice, don't leave dog and baby. Like, no, okay? I only have a one-year-old, but I got that one down. Like, check. We love to be together. If you didn't meet them today, look for this beautiful woman tomorrow and this like ridiculously cute baby. And that's my wife and my daughter. Allison is our daughter and my wife, Ashley. Ashley and I, we've been married for a little over 5 years now. We dated for about 5.5 years before that, which started when we were in high school. Yep, married my high school sweetheart. Yeah, exactly. Ah, yes. Did you notice there was like not one male voice in that? Like, right. That's what we kind of expect. Exactly. So, but I love to tell the story of like how Ashley and I met. We both grew up in Southern Michigan, and we both grew up on small dairy farms, and we were both in 4-H and FFA. Yeah, exactly. I love it. I guess farm kids. These are my people. Yeah, right? Like, these are my people. Yeah. Okay, you don't listen to country music, do you? Clearly. Okay, thank you. We are farm kids through and through. And Ashley and I, we actually met at our county fair, the Branch County 4-H Fair. It was August 9th, 2002. Yeah, that was a while ago, right? You were like, I was in like third grade. Just don't tell me. So we met August 9th, 2002. It was a Friday. It was about 9:15 in the morning. We had both just finished our morning chores, which for me meant that like I had just finished milking the cows, cleaning their pens, feeding them, bathing them. I then moved on to my steers, did the same thing minus milking them because you don't milk steers, and then repeat the process of the steers with the pigs. And so I had just finished these things, and I'm with my cousin, Doug, and Doug and I are walking along, and here comes this girl, and I'm like, and she walks by, and she goes to school with Doug, and she's like, Doug, I need your help, and they're good friends, and she says, I've got this steer, but he's a little bit wild. My dad usually helps me out, but he can't come down today, and I need to get him ready for the auction at the end of the day. And so Doug's like, man, I have a really busy day. I can't, but maybe my cousin, Aaron, can. And like, at that moment, like she turns to me, like in this moment of like, can you do that? And I'm like, right from the moment that I met her. Like, yeah, right? Sorry. So like Gaston comes out of me and I'm like, yeah, right. Like, let's see, a beautiful girl with a wild beast she needs saving from. Yes. Yeah. So we hung out the rest of the day, all the next day. Like any plans that I had then, they changed. Like Ashley was my plans at that time. It was like infatuation at first sight, right? It was high school. So we met on that Friday, August 9th, and then on August 11th, Sunday, we decided we were going to have our first, like, date, so to speak. I almost skipped over, like, what she thinks is the best details of the entire time of when we meet. Like, we were rocking it that morning, because when you finish doing your chores, like, you're in your best, right? Yeah, I've got this gray FFA cutoff t-shirt on with cow slobber all the way up here. I'm soaked from washing pigs, which for some reason they don't like. And then I'm wearing these, like, dark navy blue mechanic pants or something with my farm boy boots on, knee high or like calf high up here. And these are the kind that like aren't just like galoshes. No, not like that. There's nothing decorative about these things. These are like slip on over your feet or over the top of your shoes, Sasquatch size. Like these are huge and they're nasty. The only decorations on them are layers of dried manure caked on from real work, right? Like, so guys, if you're single in here, get yourself some good boots like that. Right? But Ashley, she wasn't exactly doing a whole lot better. She was in this cold water basketball. Like, I mean, she's still beautiful, but she's wearing this like cold water basketball cutoff, number 22, because, you know, that's our number. And so we met then. She had these like navy blue mesh shorts on, and she was wearing the farm boots too. So yeah, that's how we did it. And so, Like, it was incredible, though. Like, these few sequences of days, and you guys know how it is, whether you're in high school or even in college, it's like, wow, this person's amazing. And so you start to, like, just really spend time with them. We decided to have our first day on Sunday the 11th. And so the plan was I was going to come over and pick her up at her parents' house. And then we were going to go back, and my youth group was getting together at my house. We're going to watch a movie and just hang out, like, nothing dangerous at all, right? So after knowing each other for 2 days, it's time to meet mom and dad. Which is just a bad idea, but I'm getting ready, and I'm like nervous and scared and excited and like going a little bit crazy, you know, brush your teeth twice, deodorant four times. And so like you run out the door, and I had this, 1992 maroon, Chevy S10 pickup, and I hop in the truck, and I'm headed her way. And as I like get on the road, I realize, man, I'm kind of running low on gas. And then I'm like, okay, I'm running like college kid kind of low on gas. Like, shh, come on, Bessie, give. And so I make it to this gas station, but this is like a boondocks gas station. It's out in the middle of nowhere. 6:30 Sunday afternoon, they're closed. Like, who's closed at 6:30 on Sunday afternoon in the middle of summer? And so it's decision time. Head back to town. Probably going to run out of gas on the way to town. So I'm going to have to flag someone down, get a gas can, go get gas, have them come back, then go to their house. Like, at least an hour late, probably, right? Like, dangerous. Other scenario. Her dad's a mechanic. He really values people that are responsible with cars. Great. So I start heading to their house. Like, the other option is going to their house first, and then probably running out of gas, having to call them, have her dad, who I'm trying to impress, because this is the first time I've met her parents, and trying to impress her, too. They would have to come get me, take care of me, and then bring me to their house. I'm like, like, if I could imagine a worst case scenario situation to meet her parents on, like, I've now entered it. But I then realized, like, wait a minute, if I choose this option, it means I have an extra hour of spending time with her. And all of a sudden, it was like, this is a no-brainer. Like, I'm all of a sudden excited about being humiliated in front of someone I'm trying to impress because I get to spend more time with her. And I was like, wow, that was so simple. Like, I get excited about being the idiot in the story. All of a sudden, I'm like, whoa. It wasn't even a decision. So I head that way, and of course, they had to come get me. And now it's something we laugh about. Like, that day, it wasn't so much. In fact, for the next like few months, when it's like, you're still with that guy? I was like, eh. Yeah. But it's something that we laugh about now. I know this is kind of a unique story, and you're probably like, I don't know where he's going with this. But I want to tell you a story that Jesus shared it that's a little bit similar to this. It's in Matthew chapter 13. This is what it says. It's just these two really, really short stories. Jesus is talking. He's teaching the disciples, and he says this. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it. And then in his joy, he went and sold everything he had and bought that field. He continues on. He says this, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. These are two pretty short and kind of obscure stories here, but I think there's something that's really, really valuable from them. And I want us to look at this a little bit. Like, the stories don't tell us a lot, but I think we can get the picture and understand the context of what actually happened here. We have a man who's walking through a field that he doesn't own, digging holes. Which just doesn't happen. Like, this is a little bit sketchy to begin with, right? Like, who's this guy that's walking with his metal detector trying to find things in someone else's field? By the way, they didn't have metal detectors, but go with me. And so he finds this treasure in the field. And when he opens it up, he realizes that this is something of unmeasurable value. Like, he has found all of the Elvis and Beatles relics all together in one place, right? Like, he's like, this is amazing. He hides it, which is a little bit sketchy again. He goes to the man, and this is not here in the story, but like, this is kind of what we can imagine happening. He goes to the man who owns the field, and he comes up to him and he says, you know, I was in the field today, or I was maybe going by it, and noticed how nice of a field it was, and I want to buy it from you. You name the price. And the guy, because he has absolutely no motivation to sell his field, why would he want to sell it, right? he comes up with this, like, this is ridiculous, but he puts out this absolutely astronomical price that no one would ever in their right mind say yes to. And before he can even get the words out of his mouth, the guy's like, sold, yes, I'm in. And the guy runs off. He takes everything that he owns. It doesn't say like he went to his savings account and pulled out his extra, right? Like he took everything that he owns. He had to take every penny, every jar. He sold it. He sold the house. He sold the boat. He sold all of his extra clothes. He sold the dog, which Jews didn't have dogs at that time. But again, it's a story, so go with me. Like he sold absolutely everything that you would never even consider selling. He took all of his life possessions. He had worked all of his life to accumulate these things, right? And he sells all of them, which is ridiculous because no one would sell all of their memories, all of their precious things, and no one would ever get rid of all of those for one field. But what it says here in verse 44, it says this, that in his joy, he went and sold everything he owned, which just blows my mind. And I have to question, what does it mean? What does it mean when he says in his joy, he sold everything that he owns? And then I realized that this man knew that the cost of giving up those things was so minimal. It was so nominal in comparison to what he was going to gain. So what it's saying is that the benefit of what he was going to gain so far outweighs the other option that it's not even an option for him. He realized this is a treasure. I have a little bit of stuff. And this is kind of what Jesus is trying to tell the disciples at that time, that when you experience God in his fullness, when you come to know who God is, when you experience the kingdom, and when you experience life that he has to offer. Okay, so those are all Christianese kind of words. So what he's really saying is that, like, when you realize that God created you and made you in a very specific way where he has a perfect plan for your life and says, I have crafted and molded you into this way because I want this for you. And when you realize that God has done this, but yet there's this separation, and that through the person of Christ, we can now be reunited with him. Like that no longer when Jesus or when God looks at me, if I am in Christ, if I have accepted Christ, no longer does God see all of the other things that I've accumulated, but instead he sees the treasure over me. He now sees not me, but Christ who is covering over us. Like when I've accepted him, when you experience these things and be restored to this, I've created you for a specific plan and a specific purpose, and I'm going to bring you to fulfillment in it. And I'm going to give you fulfillment in it. When you experience these things, Jesus is saying the treasure is worth so much that it's not even a decision. The guy doesn't even have to question on whether he should actually go and sell all of his things. He does it joyfully. For me, on that day, when I first met my wife, or when I first met her parents, like that was a simple thing. Like I had to decide, do I want my dignity or more time with this girl I really like, right? Like that was simple for me. This man decides all of my possessions, everything that I've ever worked for in my life, is it worth this treasure? And for him, it's still a no-brainer. The other day, I was listening to a sermon of a friend of mine, and he was talking about heaven. And he started to ask this question, like, what would heaven be like one day? What would it be like if you woke up, you're in heaven, and everything that you love about this world is there, right? Because, I mean, heaven is going to be that. Like, we're not talking about the, like, floating around with wings, which, by the way, white team guy, I like your wings. but we're not talking about, like, floating around on clouds, playing harps, and just singing songs all the time. Like, we're talking about, like, heaven as we actually will experience it. Like, everything that you love is there. So every food, every person, every activity, like we're going to play all the craziest games that Pete and Phil and Ben, all the girls can come up with. And we're going to love more them more and more every single day. And we're going to get to do more and more of them all the time for eternity. Like, and it's going to be everything that we've ever desired and loved in this world. Like that would be awesome, right? But here's the caveat is that Jesus isn't there. And he asked this question, he posed it. He said, would it be worth it if you had everything you've ever desired, everything you've ever wanted in the world, but Jesus wasn't there? Then is it actually heaven? And it kind of made me step back for a second. And I realized, okay, Where's my treasure? What is the true treasure? Is it all the things I love to do? Because I love so many things. Like, I love a good meal. I love being able to spend time with my wife. I love to play sports and do ridiculous things and try to build new American Ninja Warrior courses at our house. Like, we're doing that. I love to do all of those things, and they're awesome. But do they replace the treasure? Because I think, and I would even argue that in our lives, we have often lost what the true treasure is. Because we need to understand that the treasure is not the things that we do or get to be a part of, or even the people we have here. Like, the true treasure is Christ. The true treasure is being in his presence, being in God's presence. It is intimacy. It is relationship. And we've forgotten what that looks like. See, I think most of us either have forgotten or maybe have never fully understood what it means to be with God. Like, it's easy for us to get God, but I want to talk about us being with God. The get God mentality is that, like, Jesus is like a gas station. I'm running low. Like, the things are about empty, and I'm about to be broken down on the side of the road here. Like, that's our emotional state, right? I need to get me some Jesus because I'm about to break down on the side of the road here. Things are running low. Or maybe we have the mentality of, like, Jesus is our energy drink. Like, okay, I've got a big week ahead of me, and I really need a good boost, so I need to get me some Jesus, okay? Like, this is not the kind of Jesus we're talking about. Those are the get some Jesus. Like, okay, I got to go to Encounter this week because I really want to get, like, excited and pumped up and just feel that Jesus is there with me. This is the mentality a lot of times that we have. But instead of this, I want to talk about the exact opposite thing, because Jesus isn't gasoline for the engine. He's the engine. He's not caffeine that goes into the blood. He is the lifeblood. In fact, that's what he tells us in his word, that he is the very blood. In John 6, he talks about this. And this is what he's saying, is that I'm not the thing that substitutes, that I am the treasure. He is the treasure. And I don't know if we have a full understanding of that. But this is what I want us to understand, is that this weekend we need to begin a journey. Take one or two steps. Maybe for you they're big steps, maybe they're small steps. But I want to help us create this paradigm shift in our mind, that instead of feeling Jesus, instead of feeling God, man, like, that just felt great. I could just feel God was there, right? That's a good thing. I like that. Like, that's a wonderful thing, to feel God's presence. But instead of feeling God, we need to create this paradigm shift where we come over to this side and we're saying, I don't just feel him. I am completely and always sustained by him. That everything that I do, it is in his presence, and it's longing more for his presence. It is desiring to be with him. Now, we can come back here and say, like I do, that, like, man, I know that's what I want, but I'm like, I'm stuck in the mud here. Like, I keep messing up, and we understand that. But our longing for is that deep desire to be with God. I want to share with you guys some of the ways that helped me get to this place. And I want to be real honest. Like, I am on the journey right now, okay? It's not that, like, I have conquered the mountain and now I'm going to enlighten you. Like, I am on the journey right now in order to get to a place where I can be more intimately sustained by God and being in his presence. I have learned for me, and again, like, before I even share some of these things, I want you to know that this is what works for Aaron, and because it works for Aaron, it's probably wrong, but it's far enough wrong that it meets me where I'm at. And so this doesn't mean this is what you need to do, but I want to just give you guys some ideas, like, how can I get to a place where I desire to be with God more? And I've learned that for me, slowing down and contemplating who God is and who I am without him. Because when I start to contemplate, like, who am I without God, then I start to understand more fully what he has actually done for me and in my life. These are a few very, very simple, and when I mean simple, almost cliche simple things that I do. Just reminders that, like, I need to continuously tell myself in order to gain the proper perspective in my life to keep me longing after God. Here's one of them, and you guys have probably heard things very simple, similar to this before. It's just something that I remind myself and need to more and more than I actually do. But it's just simply this, that in Christ, that is when I have accepted and put on Christ and he's covering me over, that there's nothing that I can do that will make God love me more. and there is nothing I have done that will make him love me less, right? You guys have probably heard things like that, that when I'm in Christ, there's nothing I can do that will make God love me more, and there's nothing that I have done that will make him love me less. So why do I need to remind myself of this? Why do I need to hear it? For me, I need to hear it because it reminds me that my status with God is not dependent upon what I do. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to guess that most, at least the majority of you here, have grown up with a semi-similar background, or at least if you grew up in the church, you probably have a similar foundation as what I grew up with, in that, like, we definitely get the grace thing. Like, it's all about God's grace for us. But yet, there's still this big thing about, like, doing the right thing. Like, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to say these words and not these words. If you're a Christian, you can do this, but you shouldn't do this. And you should look like this and act like this. And so there's this big emphasis, even though it's about grace, still on what we do. Now, I do want to say, like, I totally believe that we need to be doing certain things. We're going to talk about that later, too. But I want us to understand that who we are in God's eyes is not dependent upon us. In Romans chapter 4, Paul writes, and he's talking about Abraham, and he says, and this is all, like, way before Jesus, So it's not even talking about, like, Abraham believing in Christ. But what he says in verse 3 is that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And I love that Paul later goes on and he says that we, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 23, it says this, that the word's credited to him. That means that it was given to him. It was accounted towards him. It was credited to him. We're not written for Abraham alone. They were written for us who believe in Christ, the one that God has raised from the dead. This is what it says. And so we should understand that when we are in Christ, our righteousness is not dependent upon what we do. Because if God was judging us based on what we did, then he may have a reason to love us more or less. But it's not. It's completely dependent upon Jesus and what he has done. I need to be reminded that Jesus has done it all, and it's not about what I have done. This is why. Because when I think more about what I should be doing, it makes me treasure me more. But I'm not the treasure. But when I think more about what Jesus has done, I treasure him more. And there is a direct correlation to the amount of time that I spend understanding that Jesus has done it all to the amount of desire I have to be in his presence, right? Like, the more time I spend being and contemplating him, the more I desire to be with him. So being in his presence for me is about reminding myself that that I am not, and my actions are not the true treasure. Words are struggle sometimes, but you guys are with me. You understand, like, that I need to not treasure me. I need to treasure Christ. So in Christ, there's nothing I can do that will make God love me more, and there's nothing I can do that will make him love me less. This is the other thing I wanted to let you guys know. Again, this is a very simple thing, and this is just a prayer. God, your presence and approval is all I need for everlasting joy. Simple. God, your presence and approval are all I need for everlasting joy. Now, for me, the bigger one there is approval, because I desire, like, gimme, I love approval, right? So many of us, and I think, like, all of us, but especially guys, we resonate with this. I want approval. I want people to like me and respect me and admire me and be like me and say, wow, that's the kind of guy I wish my daughter would grow up and marry, as long as he keeps his gas tank full. Like, you know, like, those are the things that we want. We want that approval. But I need to be reminded that I don't need your approval for my joy to be made complete. I need God's approval. And then I'm reminded of this, that God's approval of me is not dependent upon what I do. It's dependent upon what Christ has done. See, if I am in God, or in Christ, then God doesn't see me and approve me based on what I do. Like, we have a tendency to think about the first one and be like, check, got it, yes. And then think about the second one and then go back to this idea that, like, okay, God's approval. So what do I need to do? We need to think of this holistically and understand that we have God's approval. You have God's approval because Christ has done the work for you. He has said, you are worth it, and I'm going to go and pay the price for you. God's approval is dependent completely upon him. The more that I focus on this, the more I am confident of his love of me, and the more I desire for his presence in my life. That's where I'm at on the journey. Like, for me, those are the two that I really am working on now. Like, there's a whole lot more, right? But these are the ones that I'm working on. The understanding that God's approval is not based on what I do, and that his approval is all that I actually need. The night that I met Ashley's parents, and I had no idea then that they turned out to be my future in-laws. And to say the least, that night was humiliating. Like, it was in every single way. But I loved it because it was more time with this girl. It was humiliating then, but the treasure now of my wife and now daughter, like, it doesn't even compare, right? Like, being humiliated for an hour or so, it doesn't compare to the joy that I have with Ashley and my daughter, and hopefully, God willing, kids to come someday. I don't know about as many as Ben and Joe are having. Like, yeah, he said they might stop if God desires it, which means they're open. So no, I'm just joking. It doesn't even compare, though. Like, being humiliated for a little bit, like, who cares compared to the joy that I now have with my wife and child? I learned then, when we were in high school, to love Ashley quickly. Like, it didn't take long from that, like, wow, she's really cute, to like, man, I truly care deeply about this person. But then it was mostly that I loved her because of how she made me feel. But now I don't love Ashley because of how she makes me feel, for the most part. Like, I love her because of her presence. I love being in her presence. I love when we go on long car rides and I get to just sit and be with her. And even if we don't talk all that much, like, I love the presence. I love when Allison goes to bed at night and, like, actually goes to bed, not just crying upstairs. Like, I love that time when it's the end of the day and it's just us. Like, I desire her presence and to be with her. Like, I used to love her because of how she made me feel. And maybe that's where you're at with God. Like, man, I felt God, and that was cool. Like, that's awesome. And man, like, sweet. I'm so glad you're there. Like, but I want to encourage you, like, take this step. Walk with us. Take a step. Journey with us and learn what it means to desire God's presence, to enjoy him, not for how he makes you feel, but instead, I desire to be in your presence. Tomorrow morning, we're going to talk more about this and really just learning to ask God to be in his presence. If I can be satisfied with the presence of a person who lets me down and I let her down sadly, how much more so should I be with God, right? Like, that is the non-comparison. That the treasure is truly God. As we go on this journey, and we're going to wrap up here tonight, and Pete's going to come up and give a little more instructions, but this is my prayer for you guys. My prayer is that whether you're hearing about this treasure and the idea of being in God's presence for the first time, or this is something that you've heard like 6 times and this is the 7th time and it's finally going to set in or something like that, like, wherever you're at on this journey, my prayer is very simple, that you would learn to awaken your hearts to God. And it would happen by you praying, God, awaken my heart. Allow me to understand your presence more than just your feeling. This is my prayer as we journey on this tonight. The more that we consider God's greatness, the more we desire him, right? The more that we desire, or the more that we consider and contemplate his greatness, the more we desire him. Conversely, the more I consider my greatness, the more I desire myself. Will you guys journey with me into God's greatness? This is what we want to do. Will you make that your prayer and just pray with me tonight? God, I am so honored to be able to speak on your behalf. And God, I pray that you're heard and not me. Tonight, God, awaken our hearts to you and your presence. Whether we have never felt you before or we simply have forgotten the luster of the treasure, God, awaken us to your presence. Allow us to abandon it all in order to gain the true treasure. For some of us, that means letting go of deep, deep things. And for others, we're not even sure what it means. But we know that we desire a true treasure, not something that will leave us empty and lonely at the end of the week. God, we desire your presence. You are the treasure that we want. God, I thank you for this night and for each of these people. May your spirit dwell and rest heavily upon them. God, we love you and pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.